Tengu, and this is the Human Rights Report, part of a regular series from the University of Arizona's chapter of Amnesty International. Today, we look at the problem of torture around the world and right here in the United States. But first, here is some recent human rights news. Reports continue to arrive from the G8 conference in Genoa, Italy, as police and government officials subject protesters to a series of abuses. A number of people were denied their rights to freedom of expression and assembly even before it started, as they were barred from entry into the country. During the meetings, witnesses reported seeing examples of excessive force, assaults, and beatings of nonviolent protesters. After arbitrary and illegal arrest and detention, other demonstrators were deprived of food and water, then denied access to lawyers and medical care. Some foreign nationals were not given access to consular officials. Amnesty International has called for a comprehensive inquiry into policing at the G8 conference. In other news, the upcoming World Conference Against Racism has already generated two points of controversy. One, reparations to victims of slavery is supported by Africa, Armenia, and Cuba, but opposed by Western Europe and the United States. Canada is under internal pressure to boycott the conference because of this contentious issue. Two, a blanket condemnation of Zionism based on human rights abuses in Israel was initiated at a preparatory meeting in Tehran, Iran. However, most Western nations oppose the linkage. United States Secretary of State Colin Powell opposes use of anti-Zionist language. But President George Bush has failed to address racism at all, even when asked specifically about the conference by United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan. In 1975, Zionism was equated to racism by the United Nations, but this resolution was repealed in 1991. The conference begins on August 31st in Durban, South Africa. And finally, there's good news from U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft. Amnesty members urged Ashcroft to block the deportation order of 4-year-old Phanupong Keshri to Thailand, where he would be in danger for his life. Ashcroft halted deportation efforts on July 23rd. This is the Human Rights Report from Amnesty International at the University of Arizona. I'm Jesse Bangu. Amnesty International is a non-profit, independent, grassroots activist organization dedicated to human rights around the world. We work for fair trials, ending torture, abolishing the death penalty, and freeing people who have been imprisoned solely for their beliefs. Amnesty International has always opposed torture, but now has begun a new campaign that uses modern communications technology to expose torturers and bring them to justice. This new program has several other goals, such as support for torture survivors, working with the United Nations Conference on Racism Against Torture, and a focus on special populations, women, children, and LGBT people, for example. Amnesty has targeted 21 countries specifically, including the United States. We will talk more about this campaign later, but first, let us look at torture in the global context. Imagine an act which is illegal in almost every country and even prohibited by international law, but occurs almost everywhere in the world with government approval and support. This is precisely the situation today regarding torture. Almost every country has publicly condemned the use of torture as an inhumane form of coercion or punishment. But in private, government agents use physical violence along with psychological pressure to punish or force confessions from criminal suspects. Obviously, this violates the basic rights of the suspect, but this is only the final stage in a series of human rights abuses. Frequently, authorities accuse a person of criminal behavior to justify their use of torture, which can lead to a forced confession. The confession, combined with the original accusation, artificially sways public opinion against the suspect. Government agents sometimes torture political opponents, who are not even accused of any criminal activity. Other targets include children, who are particularly vulnerable to severe problems from psychological abuse. Most commonly, police are the principal agents of torture. Their high visibility initiates the sequence of a negative image, as they typically draw their victims from groups that are already targets of discrimination, promoting poor stereotypes. The United Nations specifically defines torture to include, quote, any act by which pain is intentionally inflicted against any person for any reason, unquote. This clearly means that even criminals are not to be punished physically. The UN ratified this convention, then accepted it into force in 1987. And yet, over 30 nations allow physical corporal punishment within their judicial systems. Amnesty International's anti-torture campaign features a new program, Fast Action Stops Torture, or FAST for short, to react quickly where torture occurs, exposing the agents and explaining to them by a fax or email why torture is wrong. FAST members get alerts by email, cell phone, or pager, so a letter-writing campaign can begin within hours. Letters from 78 different countries flood in very quickly, challenging the torturer to stop the violence. Amnesty International describes several key points within their campaign. One is to strengthen laws which reduce opportunities for torture to occur, such as during interrogations. Another is to encourage investigation and prosecution of those who initiate physical violence. Other goals are to disallow confessions made under torture and to promote international responsibility. As an example of international responsibility, the United States public policy opposes torture, but the government facilitates the sale of high-technology torture devices to other countries with minimal restrictions. The U.S. has become the international market leader in electrical and chemical physical control devices such as stun guns and tear gas. These devices are labeled non-lethal, but are not adequately tested or safeguarded against abuse. Since 1990, chemical sprays alone have caused over 90 deaths. Yet, the U.S. aggressively markets these and other dangerous weapons to countries with proven evidence of using them to torture their own citizens. One such country is Saudi Arabia. They allow no independent non-governmental human rights monitors, so state-sanctioned torture and murder continue in relative secrecy. Over the past 20 years, we've recorded almost 1,300 executions, but the real number could be much higher. Political opponents live in fear and are commonly detained where they are treated brutally. Despite their appalling human rights record, the United Kingdom, among others, allows the sale of torture devices to Saudi Arabia. A salesman from British Aerospace confirmed that they sold 8,000 electroshock batons to Saudi Arabia in 1995. Both governments and British Aerospace deny that this sale occurred. Meanwhile, in Sierra Leone, massive human rights violations accompany their armed conflict. The UN unveiled a report last December exposing the connection between their diamond trade and the human rights problem. The rebels control the diamond trade in Sierra Leone, generating $25 to $125 million a year U.S. in revenue to fund the oppression of their people. Many men, women, and children bear the rebels' trademark, amputated limbs. Children face further risk as they are put into military service as frontline soldiers in the conflict. Amnesty's campaign has already made a difference in several cases and strengthened their anti-death penalty program. Meanwhile, in this hemisphere, Colombia has developed a program to fight their drug trade, but did not first consult any non-governmental organizations, either inside or outside its borders. Colombia has received foreign aid to assist them, but the aid often supports torture of political opponents. In 1994, the U.S. stopped direct military aid to Colombia, citing human rights problems. However, in 2000, then-President Clinton waived human rights provisions in a new package, part of Plan Colombia. Since then, politically motivated killings have increased dramatically. U.S. Assistant Secretary of State Rand Beers confirmed last March that Colombia is blurring the line between counter-narcotics and counter-insurgency, saying, quote, "The government of Colombia and the U.S. don't discriminate between who is the drug trafficker and who is the insurgent," unquote. U.S. Senator John McCain acknowledged the concerns in a press release of June 21, 2000, referring to human rights as a moral and practical imperative. But he supports the aid package because he believes, quote, "we are at a loss for viable alternatives," unquote. To find out more about these and other cases of torture and physical violence, visit the Amnesty webpage on torture at www.amnesty-usa.org/stop-torture. Thanks for listening to the Human Rights Report, produced by the University of Arizona's Amnesty International chapter. I'm Jesse Bangu.